Okay.
Okay, I call the meeting to order. Can we stand for the pledge, please? Last, Kelly, will you listen to the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, the purpose of this meeting is a hearing on the host community agreement for the windmills in the town of Moores. So it's a public hearing on, you know, anyone can come and voice their opinion or ask questions. So we'll open it up to the floor. Which is nobody.
I have a statement prepared.
Okay.
Could I give something for the minutes to be recorded? Hello, my name is Ryan Hicks McCann. I'm the lead developer on the Bull Run Wind Project for Invenergy. I'm joined tonight by Marie Agan, who's our local representative. The adoption of this host community agreement will mark a major milestone for Bull Run Wind. As many of your neighbors participating in the project can confirm, it's been a long road leading to this point, and we're excited to take the next step in the development process. The host community agreement being discussed tonight is a thoughtfully crafted document. More than a financial agreement, the host community agreement outlines a framework for how Invenergy will work in your community and with your community. Conditions including legal and engineering review, pre- and post-construction surveys of roads, on-site construction monitoring, sound monitoring, and methodology for complaint and reporting, and correction, and ensure that your community will be a partner throughout the development, construction, and operation of the Bull Run Wind project. Corresponding escrow accounts ensure that funding for this participation comes from Invenergy and not your pockets. And those funds are in addition to the more than $5 million in annual local investment that will be seen as a result of Bull Run Wind. Built on the collective experience of Bull Run Wind's four host communities, this host community agreement is the product of a long and rigorous process, both thorough and financially lucrative for your community. It's a roadmap to the realization of a successful project and, more importantly, partnership. We're excited to continue working with your community and to deliver on the Bull Run Wind project. And once again, my name is Ryan Hicks McCann. I'm the developer of the Bull Run Wind Energy project, and I thank you for your time and consideration.
Okay, thank you, Ryan. Questions?
So, just to confirm again, the amount of towers that we're going to be getting, or wind turbines, is 25?
So, that is correct. What is shown in our facility layout is 25 turbine sites. Now, the only point that I would clarify here is that just because turbine sites are included in our permit application does not mean that every site will be built. But yes, there are 25 turbine pads that we're hoping to permit in your town.
Okay.
Each turbine is going to produce how many megawatts?
The models we're certainly currently evaluating suitability for are 4.5 megawatt units. So each one will produce that much power.
Can you speak to the turbines that are going to be, that your Bull Run is currently looking at to install?
Sure.
And the differences, like one versus the other?
Sure. We're evaluating a variety of makes and models of wind turbines. Since the start of the development on this project, wind turbine technology has changed slightly and has grown more efficient and a little bit larger. So the current models we're evaluating for this site range from the upper 500 foot range to 658, I believe, is the maximum height that we're including in our permit application. Right now, the front runners are Vestas and GE, which are both, you know, internationally vetted turbine manufacturers. The Vestas V150 4.5 unit is likely going to be the turbine we select for this project, but the way permitting happens in New York, our permit application will describe a variety of turbines, which have been designated as suitable for this site, given our wind characteristics that we've determined based on our MET data. MET is Meteorological Evaluation Tower. So even when we submit our application to the state for review later this year, it will say a list of turbines that we may use at the site, and that's to give us some commercial flexibility.
Mm-hmm. Are there any of those turbines that you currently speak of are currently in operation anywhere in this vicinity that somebody could take a look at, as far as, like, it's my understanding the Vestas is a little quieter than the GE. Is that hearsay, or is that?
Yeah, so one of the things that we have to do as part of our permit application is do visual modeling as well as sound modeling. We have to be in compliance with state regulations on sound levels at receptors, and receptors include households and places of work, things like that. GE and Vestas, each unit has slight deviations in the amount of noise it makes when it operates, and the operational noise limits of those units are often determined by weather. So you might notice that in the winter, turbines are a little bit louder than in the summer. That can be because of ice buildup on the blades. There's also turbine technology which we're considering at this project, like I'm trying to remember the exact acronym. It's low noise trailing edge, LNTE, which kind of looks like the teeth of a comb on the leeward side of the turbine blades, and that kind of cuts down on some of the noise a little bit. In terms of GE versus Vestas, there isn't a rule of thumb for one being louder than the other. They're both good turbines. I think it matters more model to model. To your question about operating units that you could go and see, they're not exactly the same, but we just began operating a project in Loudville, New York, which isn't too far from here, and that project uses the Vestas, I want to say it's a V150, but it's a 4.2 megawatt unit, so it's slightly smaller. There's also a project that I'm forgetting the name of that was not developed by Invenergy.
Bluestone?
Yeah,
Bluestone.
Which is operational with V150s down near, was it Rochester?
It's like, yeah, somewhere, it's like 4 hours away.
It's a little bit
somebody
far.
Somebody mentioned it.
So I guess as a general guideline for how development happens with wind projects like this, you know, developers are constantly looking to use the best, the newest version of whatever technology is available. And so oftentimes it's hard to point to an exact one-for-one comparison of this model is in operation here. That being said, over the next few years, you're gonna see that all the developers doing projects of this scale are gonna be moving two units of comparable size and spec to these.
You said that the Vestas V150, but the ones here are gonna be 4.5. The one you said is up there is a 4.2, but what determines the megawatt output on the same model?
So it's a couple different factors, and you're gonna have to forgive me for not knowing cold all of the different nomenclature for turbine naming. So different parts of a turbine's name will refer to the swept area, which is the surface area that the blades spin across. Other metrics will indicate tower height, and so I'm forgetting the exact breakdown of which is which, but it could very well be that a 4.2 unit and a 4.5 unit just has a slightly different tower height, but the same blades.
Or could it be the blades?
It could also be the same tower and a slightly different blade length. Manufacturers are constantly tweaking these things, and part of the reason you have such variation is because, speaking specifically to this project site, our MET data has shown that the wind quality that we have here is very strong wind, but also very turbulent wind with high shear levels. And what that means is that it is harder for the turbine models with the larger swept areas, the larger blades, to perform as well, because they need more consistent, smooth wind, for lack of a better way to describe it. When you have kind of high wind speeds, but they're choppy, what we've found and what the suitability analyses point to is that the smaller blade units tend to actually be more suitable for a project site. So that's kind of a little bit of insight into the methodology we use to pick a turbine model for each project.
So the megawatt output would be more determined not necessarily by the tower itself, but by the amount of wind that you guys have tested going through the area.
Yeah, so it's a little bit of both. In terms of energy output, energy is determined by your wind speed. So from a physics perspective, power is a rating at a point. So 4.5 megawatts is a power rating. And energy is a measure of power over time. So when you take megawatts and you convert it to megawatt hours, you're saying a 4.5 megawatt unit is operating at full capacity for an hour. And you've got 4.5 megawatt hours, if that makes sense. So in terms of the rating of the turbines, they're mostly dictated by two things: the tower height and the swept area. So the bigger blades you have, the more power they're gonna be able to output. The higher up they go, the more power they're gonna be able to output. In terms of the actual energy production, you could put a 4.5 megawatt unit in the doldrums, and it's not gonna produce any energy despite the fact that it's a 4.5 megawatt unit, if that makes any sense. It's hard to answer
concisely. Yeah, I think what it boils down to is that you've already done your testing for what type of wind we have in the area, and that's what determines the tower.
Right. Yeah, so at this point, we are kind of waiting in the winds, excuse the pun, for indication from the different turbine manufacturers on which of their units will be suitable for the project. That actually is kind of out of our hands. Like, we wait for GE to come to us and say, this unit is going to work and this one isn't, and same with Vestas. So.
Fair enough.
Next. Where was, for your testing, where in the three towns that are in this wind project, excuse me, four towns that are in this wind project, where did you find the best wind?
So the highest producing wind turbines we anticipate being in the north of the project area, which includes Clinton and Moores. The farther south you go and the farther east you go, not to call out Altona, but their turbines are the lowest producers for us. And over the course of the development period for this project, we've had as many as four different METs running and collecting data. I think we only have three operating right now because one had some sort of mechanical failure and the cost to fix it was too great to justify, given that we already have so much data here. We will also likely, I think there's a requirement in the state regs to keep one MET operating alongside the project, but the other two will likely be decommissioned when we go to construction.
So when Moore's having the ideal wind, how much of an impact did the two parcels of state land affect Moore's from not getting more turbines?
When we're designing our facility site, we try and work within a variety of constraints, including environmental setback, and then just land control. Avoidance of sensitive ecological areas definitely was one of the factors that hurt the number of turbines Moores would have received at this project site. That being said, you know, the wind speed here is such that you could have productive turbines placed. We were unable to justify the length of the collection lines to a lot of our turbines in Moores, because in order to connect them into the project, it would mean circumventing state lands and sensitive environmental areas that we could not go anywhere near. Specifically, I'm thinking of the Gadway sandstone pavement barrens.
A gravel pit, yeah.
In terms of Moore's siting of turbines, I would say that that was probably the single greatest constraint to our layout.
And that's why you spoke a little bit going into my next question, why the turbines east of the Cannon Corners Road were removed. Was because of the link, the transmission. Is it transmission line? Distribution line?
They're called collection lines because we're collecting power from the turbines to the substation, but they're just electric lines, yeah. Between avoidance areas like state-owned land, ecologically sensitive areas, and then just also landowners who were not interested in signing with us, we ran into a situation in our land control where the only way to feasibly tie in certain portions of the town of Moores would have been to, in a very roundabout way, circumvent large areas of land, which wasn't feasible given the timeline that we have, unfortunately.
And just so everybody knows, where is the main hub where the energy is going into? Where is that going to be located?
So the project substation is located north of Station Hill Road in Ellenburg. If you know where the old railroad bed is, it's north of where the
Northern Heights.
The old train station was right there. So
across the road from CarQuest and there's the hardware store in the corner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is the, because back in 2015 when this was first started, New York State was running underneath a different program or law that they are in right now, because now it's, correct me if I'm wrong, it's 94C is what your permitting goes underneath?
That's right. So the permitting history for utility scale energy projects in New York, it started with local permitting, and that was done through the SEACR process, which is an acronym that stands for State Environmental Quality Review. And so a lot of the projects that you see operational around here were actually permitted by town boards like yourselves with no involvement from New York State or little involvement. The state, kind of upon setting goals for statewide renewable energy production, wanted a little bit more participation in that process, and so they rolled out what was called Article 10, and that shifted the responsibility for permitting utility scale projects, which were 25 megawatts and greater, to New York State. Collectively, all the state agencies, DOT, DEC, all of them kind of had a seat at the table and were involved in. And then the most recent change has been that they, in an effort to streamline the permitting process for renewables, have converted to a new process called 94C. And that's currently what we are going through at Bull Run Wind. There are legacy projects in New York, some of which are ours, that are still being permitted through Article 10 because we're still in the period of time where the state is converting over to 94C. But this project is a 94C project, and what that means is rather than every agency at the state level having having a direct role in the permit review, the state established the Office of Renewable Energy Siting, which you'll hear referred to as OREZ a lot, and they are the sole permitting body for utility energy projects. So, you know, had we been here 10 years ago, your board would have had the authority to grant or deny the permit for the project. Now the state has kind of taken ownership of that. But the purpose of the host community agreement is to address the fact that at the end of the day, you know, this is going to be a business that's operating in your community, and we want to make sure that we're involving elected officials picked by your community to work with us. So even though we're kind of deferring to the state on the permitting side, we want to set up an agreement that's going to work and respect the way you do things in your town, the quality of your roads, and kind of be a good fit for how you run things here. So,
so I want to speak a little bit about the landowners. What happens, or I'm trying to think of how to phrase this, is there any landowner contracts that are going to possibly expire before the project starts?
Yeah, we have a few agreements that we've identified as having an expiration prior to our start of construction date. And the reason I point that date out specifically is because our contracts are structured such that there's an initial development term where the development team, which I'm a part of, is involved in the project and trying to get its permit and its contract. And then when we commence construction, think of breaking ground on turbine foundations specifically, the development term in our contract ends and rolls into the operations term, which extends it for, I believe most of our contracts are 40 years, which should account for the operational lifetime of this project. At the end of that time period, you know, it'll be up to the landowners to either extend with us or for us to decommission the project. So.
And then the landowners that are no longer going to receive a turbine, the agreements are just going to end, and that's it.
So different landowners have different different takes on, or different preferences on what they would like to do with their contract when we know definitively that there either will or won't be a turbine on their land. You know, the way our contracts are structured, the contract doesn't automatically terminate if we can't place a turbine, if we can't site a turbine. That being said, my view of development best practices are that if we don't have a use for a landowner's property and they don't want to entertain the lease anymore, I don't want to lock up their land. So I'm going to do what I can to kind of work out with them a release. And that's pretty easy. I've done that with some people. As an example of something that happened recently that is sort of the flip side of that coin, there was a landowner that reached out to me, a leaseholder, that reached out to me and said, you know, I realize I'm not getting a turbine, I'm trying to sell my property, and I'd like to be released because I'm afraid that I won't be able to sell the land if there's a lease on it. And so I worked with her, we released the property, and she went through with the sale. And then, I think it was about 2 months later, the new landowner reached out to me and said, hey, can we sign back up with the project? And I explained to them that, you know, our current plans didn't involve a turbine on that piece of property. And so we didn't continue the discussion, but it just goes to show that, you know, sometimes landowners will prefer to keep their leases in place just in the hope that there's a phase two of the project and more turbines are added or something like that. So,
yeah. Have you got any
inclination on what you're going to use for the decommissioning, a bond or?
Yep, so there will be a decommissioning bond in place held by the host communities. Decommissioning can look like whatever the towns would like, really. You know, there are examples in the US of projects that have been decommissioned and are effectively shut off, disconnected, and the towns just kind of hold the escrow funds for their own use. There are examples where the turbines have been physically taken down. We have standards for decommissioning built into our contracts that involve removing facilities to a certain depth below grade so that, you know, farmers can resume their activities in their fields and whatnot.
Right. Okay. And I know the last couple of solar projects we did it as a first one we did, they ended up giving us cash. We got it in account. But the last three, I think it was, we did a bond.
Okay.
And we're there, you know, our names is our town's named on the bond, and we have access to it.
Gotcha.
Which which I think is more or less what's going on now.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, to my knowledge, we bond our decommissioning funds, I think universally, but.
Do you have a date as far as when you want to start to put them on?
So, tentatively, you know, on a daily basis, I'm on phone calls about trying to keep schedule, right? So it's a bit like shooting a target in the dark, because there's a lot that can happen between now and when we break ground that can shift our timeline. All that being said, we plan to start construction in 2025. We plan to conclude construction and commence operations in 2027. We are contracted to deliver power from Bull Run Wind in 2027. So from that perspective, we sort of have to. The interim period between now and when we break ground is the permit submission and review period. So what will happen is later this summer, we will hand our project application to the Office of Renewable Energy Siting. They will have a period of about 2 months to come back to us with identified deficiencies. And that's basically any part of our application that they want to see enhanced or changed. For context, there has yet to be a single application that has not had identified deficiencies. So this is a part of the process that we don't try to avoid. We expect them to flag things for us, and we work with the Office of Renewable Energy Siting to address those needs. And then after that 2 month window closes and we've responded to the deficiencies, there is a 12 month period where ORES reviews our application. At the end of that 12 months, they'll deem the application complete, and we will be looking for a notice to proceed. That can be a limited notice to proceed or a notice to proceed, the limited notice to proceed just kind of constrains what activities we're allowed to do. But effectively, we would like to do some site prep at the end of 2024, ideally. So some tree clearing and things like that. And then start doing the earthwork, grading and foundation pouring in 2025.
And how long is the, so if you put them all up in 2027, what's the life expectancy of the turbine? Is that something that's going to be permanent? Or like the solar panels is what, 20 years you have they gave us?
25. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, based on what we've seen, we can expect the project to be able to produce power, you know, 30 years plus. As to the permanence of the project, I guess one of the things I would point to is the current AES repowering project. So AES is another company not affiliated with Bloom Energy. And what they're doing with their repower project is they're taking old turbines and they're taking the blades off and they're replacing them with new, slightly larger blades. And so, to your question earlier about the energy output for the turbines, that's going to mean that project will produce more power. And from a development perspective, they're saving themselves the headache of having to permit new turbine sites. So, as for the active life of the turbines we'll be putting up, I would say 20 to 30 years is our expectation. And then beyond that, you know, if they're still in good operating condition, we can operate them beyond that. If there's new technology that has come out that we can sort of enhance them with, a repower is plausible as well. It's a little hard to speculate out that far, but.
You have to do your PI maintenance on.
Yeah.
You have to do the maintenance.
We'll have an operation
if
center.
If there's, like you say, a different design or parts that need to be replaced as part of your job, I guess, is to maintain these.
Right.
So that if I'm a property owner and I'm like, okay, I'm going to sign a lease, they're going to put this here. How long is it going to be here?
Right.
You know, I might be dead before.
So I think our leases are 4 years for that.
The term expired, you know, I'm 70 years old, you know, whatever, and then you're putting this on the property, and you know, 110, I'm probably going to be here. So,
you know, we've heard that a lot, actually.
What happens to, you know, what happens to this? It's kind of questionable whether or not, you know, a family member gets it or, you know,
it stays with the, I think it stays with the property, right?
It stays with the property.
Yeah, it runs with the property. The lease rights run with the property. I've seen a sale of a property where a condition of the sale was that the revenues from the lease remained with the previous owner. And that's just something that each landowner is like able to negotiate on their own. That has nothing to do with us. But yeah, I think in the context of our contracts, the reason we have a 40-year term is because that's kind of like the upper limit of what we expect to be generating power.
So somebody that we're working with in 3 years or 4 years is going to be operational.
Yeah.
So 40 years from there, so you're looking at 2067?
Yeah.
Up to 2067.
But you also got to look at, you know, your base on the cement. I mean, if that deteriorates and,
that's
you know what the weather that we get around here.
One of the things that AES is also doing is they're fortifying the bases of the turbines. You put those larger plates on, you need a wider base, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or a stronger base.
Right. So. Right. So.
Do we have numbers of how it's going to benefit the town financially?
I don't know. We talked about it last meeting, what, 500,000? If all 25 go up,
some
of that area.
So it's going to produce us, if we go 25 turbines at 4.5 megawatts, it's going to give us 112.5 megawatts. So with the construction permit, they're benefiting us $600 a megawatt. That's right around, I can tell you right now.
Why don't you get them all up? If I look at, what, 23,000?
It's
67,500. And then at 5,000 a megawatt annual payment 6 months after the turbines are turned on, that's going to get us 562,500 annually.
And that's above the pilot.
That's above and beyond the pilot.
That's above and beyond the pilot, correct.
And that each year after that is a 2% increase.
Yeah, starting in year six, I think is what it is. And that over a 30-year operation period is north of $21 million.
That's what I'm asking for longevity, because if the town starts to get a benefit in 2028, how long can the town afford to budget that money, especially a small town like Warren's, okay? How are we going to budget that money, you know, every year going forward?
Right.
You know, are we going to be able to buy new equipment, maintain the loads, are we going to be able to do stuff? So that's my concern. Making sure the project keeps going so that way it benefits for a longer period of time. Like the solar farm, I wasn't really the happiest about. It started before I got here. Mm-hmm. So did this project, matter of fact. And I don't see the benefit of it.
Yeah.
Long term, because, you know, 25 years, okay, we're going to decommission these and what the hell we're going to do.
Right. So I've seen a variety of different host community agreement structures, and I think to the credit of yours, I would say that it's the most thorough in terms of the longevity of the payments, because the way it's structured, you'll receive annual payments until decommissioning occurs on the project. So any year that the turbines are generating power, you're getting paid. And there's no limit to that. So if we repower, you know, you should be covered, like.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, for a long time.
Would you go further and say that potentially 10 or 15 or 20 years after you started this, that you will get doing more, like you've done in Millenburg and Altona and the other? Is this something that
you're
talking about further?
Yeah.
Or would you say, no, this is a little bit of 25, and that we're going to be capped?
So I guess what I would say to that is when we pick project sites, the first component we need for any project, whether it's wind or solar or anything, is landowner interest. And at the Bull Run project, we have more than 46,000 acres signed up. You know, this project, as Gary pointed out, started with more turbines and has since shrunk in turbine count as the turbines have gotten bigger. But what that means is we've evaluated turbine sites that we're not really using in this project iteration. So in that sense, we've done a lot of work here, and you know, I think a future expansion is something that would definitely be considered. There's also something to be said for communities that we know we can do business with. As an example, we have an operating wind project in Orangeville, New York, and that project, I want to say it's more than 10 years old now. I 3 years ago permitted a battery storage project in Orangeville that works alongside the wind project, and I did that with the local. It wasn't their town board. It was their. It was a different board. I'm forgetting the exact name. But anyway, I worked with the local board to permit that project, and they were interested in it because, you know, they repaved all the roads, and they were like, hey, can you do something else? And so we did a battery project. And then I moved up here and started working on Bull Run, and now one of my colleagues is working to do a solar project in Orangeville because the town board and our landowners are saying, can you put some panels out here? So, I think these things can lead into one another, but they're really driven by community interests. So,
or the possibility of having the land.
Yeah.
Having the land.
Exactly. Unless we have willing landowners, we can't build anything.
Yeah. True.
Which we have very willing landowners currently who are anxious to do this project, as you can imagine.
Yeah, but wait, because this started out kind of slow, and then it goes here.
Well, the permit process changed, so that set us back.
And it makes it difficult for people to understand, you know, if they've signed an agreement already, that they want to make sure that, you know, it's going to continue and go forward.
Yeah, the other big setback for Bull Run, or reason that we couldn't advance the project sooner, was the transmission capacity. So this project is connecting to two 230 kilovolt transmission lines operated by NYPA, and they are the Ryan to Patnode line and the Dooley Patnode line. Anyway, they're right next to each other, so it's not like we're going in two different directions. But the reason I'm describing all this is because for a long time those lines were basically at capacity. You know, I always think of our electric utilities as plumbing. So if you think of it like a pipe delivering water, there was no more room to inject more water into that pipe. Recent changes at the state level have focused funds and attention on improving New York's transmission infrastructure such that we can move power around the state better. And because of that, the two lines that we're connecting into for this project were scheduled for upgrades that would open up new capacity. So we've had the land control and the wind speeds we've needed for a project for years now, and the main holdup has been we can't get the power anywhere. And, you know, not to put too fine a point on it, but the main need for energy is downstate. So with the upgrades to the local transmission lines, we were finally able to get the green light to move the project forward because we could get a contract, which we did, to actually sell the power. So that was another reason, if you get questions about kind of why it's taking so long, that's one of the reasons I always describe to people. And unfortunately, that's something that's just out of our hands as a private developer, because it's up to the transmission utility to take those upgrades upon themselves.
Yeah, because this has been what, probably at least 8 years. And shortly after I became supervisor, we first had meetings on it. And
I've seen leases dating back as far as 2014, I think Invenergy had employees up here before then, even if no land was signed. So it's been a long process.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Well, this is my 6th year on the board, Jeff, and it was talked about before I got elected.
That's my 10th year as supervisor, and it was shortly after I took office that they started having a meeting and talking about it, and yeah. I'm real happy that it's finally coming to fruition to get this thing rolling.
Yeah, us too. It's been a little bit of an uphill battle, but I think we've crested the hill of the ball now.
Yeah,
speed.
Going downhill a little bit. Yeah. That's good. Well, that's great. I think it's great for the town, great for the area. Yeah.
Makes us more diverse. We've already got solar farms, if you want to say that, but we've got them for 2 years. I'm not a big fan, but yeah, it's very nice.
We're
yeah. I hope that our host community agreement is, you know, a little bit either more robust or just reassuring.
I can remember back when we first started this, and I know what the agreement was back then that we were trying to get. Mm-hmm. This is almost double of what we talked about 8-9 years ago.
It's been spiritedly yep. negotiated, as I like to say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he definitely is.
Terry, you know Terry, you know what I'm talking about.
Yep. Terry Kaye's negotiating style is, I want this, and you're going to give it to me.
No, there's no bending.
Yep.
But I think we've come to an agreement that will work for the project and, you know, do some real good in those communities like yours. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I just wish more people would have came and at least listen in, and they didn't have any questions, listen in. And,
but. Yeah, well, you put the tape on
yeah.
the website.
Yeah, it'll be on the web.
Yeah, and if you do have anybody coming in with questions about the project, we just opened our project office down at Phil's
Chevrolet.
Place, Phil's Chevrolet. Yep. It's 5209 Route 11, I think is the street address.
Everybody knows where Phil's is.
So for the record, if anyone has questions, you know, please send them our way. Mm-hmm. I can leave a couple of business cards and some of the flyers I brought for you guys to hold here.
Okay.
If you need copies of our project map, I can have more copies printed and you can post some here in your town. You can
pull yep. that email.
Yeah.
You can email to the town board members.
I can. It's so these maps are on our website.
Oh,
I can email them as well. What I always hear from people is that they're like really hard to read on a computer screen just because of the extent.
So small, yeah.
And, you know, we don't even have a printer in-house that prints in this size. So we work with a print shop. Well, there are a few different ones. But if you need physical copies, we'll print them for you, and I can have them mailed to you. Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, I mean, just one so we can put it in the office, and there people can look at it and stop and look at it and
sure,
whatever.
Sure.
I think was it every first Thursday of the month?
When
you have a meeting?
Wednesday.
And where is that at?
Clinton
Town Hall.
Yep.
That's what I thought. So first Wednesday of every month.
Highly recommended that somebody go every month.
Yeah.
And I...
6 p.m., correct?
I may have sent an email earlier with the wrong date for the alternative energy board meeting. So
I thought it said the first Thursday, but I could be wrong.
I'll double check the data that I sent in that email.
I don't want to get Wednesday. Somebody said Wednesday at the last meeting.
I think it is a Wednesday.
It should be.
It is. It's the first Wednesday every month, 6 o'clock town time.
Should be the fifth. It's coming up, right?
It's first Wednesday. Next Wednesday.
Yes.
No, it's the third.
First Wednesday, right?
Tuesday is the second.
Yep.
You think I know?
I know, as many as you've been to. You've been to a million of them. Yes.
Yeah, the third, sorry.
Yep.
First Wednesday, 6 p.m. at Town of Clinton.
So it's the third?
Yeah, Town Hall.
Town of Clinton. And somebody needs to go. I'm sick all the time, but someone needs to go.
I'll be there.
So that's 23 Smith Street. Trey
Bosco here. Yeah, been there before.
For the record.
Yeah.
Trey Bosco, only one of them caught a fire.
Couple, and one on the other one, two of Trey Bosco, maybe?
Is that from lightning strikes?
That's what they think, yeah. You know, we're not really privy to the operational reports for those projects, but that's what I've heard.
Is it going rumor anyway?
Yeah, sometimes mechanical failures can cause fire. Usually it's weather related. And kind of on that note, one of the things that I'm going to be working to kind of do consultation with the towns on in the coming months is the emergency response plan. At the recent alternative energy board meetings, one of the points of discussion has been bringing all of the development groups together to kind of put our heads together so that your local fire and EMT groups can have maybe not a totally consistent approach, but some guideline that they can apply at all their projects, all of our projects. So, you know, if you have to do one thing at one turbine and another thing at another turbine because they're two different companies, like, that's just a mess for your local emergency crews to deal with. So we're hopefully we can draft something that's going to work kind of in concert with the existing plans that they have for the operating projects.
Yeah, the email you sent out, you got the next meeting is on 5/2, which is Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah, all right. So I'll send an email after this and correct that. I'm sorry.
Now we know.
He sends a lot of emails. It's easy to do.
Yeah, we are.
Poor guy.
We might forgive you this time.
I think it's important, too, for your constituents to know, like, this is the way the town protects itself, too. I think Sandy put that really nicely in Ellenburg, where, you know, New York State permits the process, right, regardless of what the board wants or says. Mm-hmm. This is the way that you guys protect your roads, your EMS services, what have you, with this agreement. So it's I think it's a really nice way that we, like Brian said, are able to work with the community, but also the community can protect itself.
Yeah.
And in a way that's almost unprecedented for any other project that's been here. Yeah. So I think that, you know, going forward with your constituents, it's just a really nice thing to let them know that, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
This is the purpose of this agreement.
Speaking of that, like our fire, that if there's a fire on one of those turbines, hey Jeff, you're in the fire department, could our equipment shoot?
Oh yeah, you could shoot water.
500 feet.
You could shoot water up there.
I don't think that they do though, do they?
Well, you shouldn't. I don't believe if there's electricity in there.
Yeah.
You don't want to.
Yeah.
So how do you put that? I mean, what are you doing? Just like burnout?
But that's what the meetings are for. You're going to meet with the fire departments and set up a protocol.
Yeah.
So if something happens, you know.
I asked the same question because I was also curious because I'm kind of new to the company and I think Sandy made it pretty clear that you don't.
Yeah, no, just let them burn. Yeah, keep the surrounding areas.
Yeah,
it's just isolate.
Like safety.
Right. Keep it confined to the front area. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully the wind is not blowing real hard.
Yeah.
Which up here is.
Yeah.
We know.
That's why they're here.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think you guys got all your bases taken care of and done a great job so far. Let's keep it up.
At the next meeting, Jeff, do we have to vote on anything for
this resolution?
Is there a resolution or anything that we have to?
Well, there's a process now that we've had the hearing and then I'm not sure what it is, but.
I think everyone's done theirs a little bit differently.
Yeah, my understanding is that the board will need to make a motion to adopt a resolution to execute the agreement at your next town board meeting. And then you would all vote on whether or not to do that. You can, obviously you can reach out to your town attorney. There's also Eric Gustafson who has been representing the towns in the drafting of the HCA agreement. I can confirm with our legal counsel what we would recommend the process to be. But I think the main two steps are to have your public hearing and then at your next official town board meeting, just have that resolution.
Adopt it.
Yeah, and go on that.
I'll get a copy next Wednesday as soon as he goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll ask questions there as well. So,
and your next town meeting is when?
Ninth.
May 9th.
It's early this month.
Yep, it is. Wow. The first is on Monday, so. More questions or
anybody got any questions?
Nope. Well, I was been an hour, so I don't know if there's a time limit that we have to abide by, but I would like to close this meeting and we just have a couple of other things to do in our regular meeting. If I don't know if you guys got anything else or. No. Okay. All right, I'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing on the Bull Run Energy.
I'll make a motion.
Okay, second?
I'll second.
Irving?
All in favor?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, carried. Okay. Thank you very much. And hang around, we only got a couple little things to go over here and then we'll be done also.
Did you have any questions that you wanted to discuss now on the solar project? You know, we can also entertain this conversation at the energy board meeting next week when Clinton and Elmer are there. We can talk now, it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
I'm also happy to let you guys just get to the rest of your meeting. So.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
I think we're good.
All right, so I will, I'll get a map made for you guys.
Okay.
And I'll leave some of the paperwork that I brought in case anyone wanders in.
Yeah, we'll have it out for the next meeting and people,
okay,
they can take some of it. And
perfect. Well, thank you all for having us.
Yeah, thank you for coming.
You know how to get hold of us.
Yeah.
I was upset that you didn't come. You said you were coming.
Oh my God.
Missed all that food.
My girlfriend got COVID last week.
Oh no.
Third time she's had it.
Oh my gosh.
I forgot all about it.
I guess you got a good excuse.
I don't want to bring that any worse.
No, I appreciate that.
I didn't get it, but it doesn't mean I, you know.
Does it mean you won't? Hopefully, I hope you don't.
I tested this morning, yeah. I tested, you know, a couple of days just to make sure.
Yeah, you're right, a couple of days, I saw it, yeah.
It wasn't, the first time she got it, it was really sick. Second time she got it, it was pretty sick. This last time, it was like half, third of the first time.
Well, she built up some immunity to it at this point, probably.
Okay. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, Tom. Have a good night. Okay, only thing we have is, we've got the quote from, Cinema or whatever it is, for the alarm system.
Oh, yeah.
Come just under $50,000. I mean, it's gonna cost us a little bit more to, because we'll have to hire an electrician to do some of the electric work, but, problem is, it's over $30,000, so we have to go out to bid.
Yeah.
So we need to, this is what we need to do, is make a resolution to go out to bid. And I guess it's a good thing, because I think the last quote we got was just for the highway garage was $60,000.
Yeah.
There are $50,000 to do every building in the town.
Wow.
So.
Yes.
I think it's great.
Now, who's this one get under?
Huh? Cinema or something like that. I got it in the office. I didn't bring it out.
This is just
about
to bid.
Yeah.
For 50.
So no, just under 50.
That's just,
yeah. Library, the EMS building, the station 2, and the garage, and then update this building.
And here's the deal.
Yeah. For, it was like $48,000, I think it was.
We have to go out to
bid. But I think when all comes said and done, you're probably looking at maybe closer to 60 by the time it's all done, time to play electrician. But they're gonna, according to what I'm thinking is, whoever's gonna bid it, we're gonna put it out as bid it with them doing electrical work or hiring it out. So we'll have a, and then we're gonna try to get them back by the next meeting so we can get this thing going.
So the bid is gonna state that they're gonna install the alarms and sub out the electrical work.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And any other thing we have to do is, because we're in a municipality, we've gotta get I don't know what you call it, a number from the Department of Health. Remember how we got in trouble at the EMS building?
Oh, right. Yeah, okay.
We have to get a case started with the Department of Health. Because
Department of Labor,
you mean? Department of Labor, being, because you need the prevailing wages, yeah. And all that good stuff. So try to remember to do that. We got in trouble last time when we didn't do that. So I'll let Kelly will read the...
Is this going to... Do we know if this is going to save us any money on the... Like our insurance premiums?
I don't know. I would think it should. And I've got a contact there because we need to get our insurance here by the end of the month, because I'm sure they're going to renew it, you know, so it doesn't run out. But I just want to remind them. And then I'm going to run that by them and say, okay, we're getting ready to install alarm system through all of our buildings. Is that going to help us? You know?
Yeah, I think we approved.
Hopefully, it should save.
With that, because the other insurance.
The other one said you couldn't match it.
Right.
Yeah. And it's happened the same thing last year. Then somebody wanted to bid it, so we can't beat their quote. So
was it the same last year, Jeff, or is it about the?
Is it what?
It's going to be a little more because.
Well, they already told us that part of the thing is going to be the same as it was last year. It's not going to go up, and I don't remember. I've got it in the office, but the part of it is going to be the same as it was last year. The price was the same, but they didn't have it all. But, and I forget what portions of it was. So. But yeah, go ahead, Kelly.
Okay. Resolution to go out to bid fire alarm system. Whereas the town of Moores would like to install monitored fire alarm systems through all town-owned buildings, and whereas due to the town's procurement policy, this will need to go out to bid, be it hereby resolved that the town of Moores will go out to bid for the installation of monitored fire alarm systems in all town-owned buildings. Bids will be due to the town clerk by May 9th at 3 p.m. This will be advertised in the Press Republican.
Make a motion.
Irving?
I'll second it.
Gary?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay. Carrie?
Thank you.
Question. The pump house, is that owned by the fire station or is that?
It's town.
This town.
Yep.
So that's going to have us alarm in it too?
No. I mean, I didn't plan on it, but...
No, well, I'm just saying, because it said all town buildings and...
But yeah, the town does own that one too.
Okay, so...
I don't know.
Any occupied building?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Do you have any changes?
Yeah, because we got, you know, a lot of buildings, we got the rec park and all that, so yeah. Okay, and the other thing I got is, last month's meeting, we voted on putting a new mobile home in that guy that burnt out. And I don't know if you guys got the letter.
Yeah.
But she sent it back, said because not everybody voted for it, they can't do it.
Why would that be?
I don't know, but, and I don't know if Irving wants to change his vote or, but I mean, as you can see, everybody's got to vote yes, or other projects, it's done, according to what she said. It's got to be a positive vote from everybody.
Are they going to be at next month's meeting?
They probably could be if we want them to be.
Because I've heard, and I'll let her speak to it about, for contractors, why contractors aren't, why they're having a difficult time. Why Friends of the North Country is getting a difficult time of finding contractors.
Because it's estate money, and part of the reason is why, I know Irving said some of the guys are taking 90 days to get paid. I don't care what you do with the state, it takes time. By the time they do all their paperwork and send it back to the state, and the state sends the money, it takes a while, but...
And they don't even front any money here. It's not like they're funding the materials. Everything comes out of the contractor's pockets, the one that I've spoken to.
Oh, yeah.
About this.
Yeah. And that's probably one reason why they have a hard time getting contractors, because they got to foot the money up ahead.
So is this like an easier avenue where they buy the whole home now?
If it's a trailer, it's cheaper to buy a new trailer than to fix it.
Yeah, because whoever's putting the home in is the one that's going to be holding the bag for the money.
I remember voting for stuff like a new septic for somebody who wants to need a new septic system. We voted for a new septic system, stuff like that. Yeah. I thought it was supposed to be for roofs, you know, septics, you know, necessities for people.
That's a little bit of everything. It's buildings and septic and, you know, wells. It's a little bit of everything.
They want to use the money now for the trailers.
Well, you also want to keep in mind too that we haven't used, what, 30,000-40,000. I don't know if we've used that yet.
And there's
a limit on this.
It ends in September.
Right. So if we don't use the money, it goes back to the state. So if this guy can get a new home and we use up the money, it's better than money to go back to the state, I think.
I know there's two new mobile homes that they put.
They've already did one in Moore's Fork.
Yeah, Tyrone's, and then you got one over here, Brenda Hicks, next to me.
They put one in there too.
But in those cases, to renovate those old trailers, which were, and even the one that burned, you're talking a 70s trailer that is
taking
renovations.
It's like taking a 20-year-old car that's all rusted and fall apart. How much money are you going to put in it?
Exactly, you know? You're better off to replace it.
Right. You got to use that common sense.
That was the, I think, their thought process behind the new mobile home. It's just cheaper and quicker.
I mean, I can email her and see if they'll come back to the meeting and if we've got more questions.
Well, I'm just saying, if the trailer that was burned was a single one, are they going to replace it with a single one?
I believe that's what they have to do.
You know, I don't want someone to say, well, I lived in a single one, now I'm going to get a double one, or I'm going to get something 10 times nicer.
I mean, that's something we can ask them at the next month's meeting, too.
And I think we touched base on that a little bit, too. Like, some of the old mobile homes were like 12 by 50, 12 by 60. Well, now I don't think they make them that small. 80.
Right. It's probably going to be a little bit longer.
They're going to be more square footage, just simply by these.
But I don't think they put a double wide in a single, where a single was.
No, I don't think they will.
No. I mean, we can throw that question at them, that's for sure.
I think they answered that before. They try to go, you know,
Well, the same footprint. I just have a concern if we put these trailers up and people don't take care of them. And, you know, as I know, it's not the town's money directly, but indirectly, it sets a precedent. And the thing I talked to Don about is, why do we have to vote on it? They're the ones that look at the applications. They're the ones that go over it and say the person's qualified for whatever it is. They're the ones that see to what the person needs and what they want to replace it with. Why is the town involved in it?
Because the town got the grant.
Right, it's our grant.
It's through the town of Moore, so.
The town is administrating the grant.
Right, and we have to.
It has to be approved by the board.
What we're doing is we're approving their applications.
Right.
Everybody signs up, they apply for these grants through the town.
Yeah.
So we have to approve them on a case-by-case basis, and that's what that's about.
And just to further your point, Ernie, yeah, it is indirect taxpayers' monies, but wouldn't we wanna see taxpayers' monies stay in the town of Moore's?
Right, instead of going to some other town that they're gonna give it to somebody else next year?
Beaman Town will spend our money in a heartbeat.
I will change my vote, but I'll tell you something. I'm not happy with it, and I'll tell you right now, I think it's bullshit the way it's run, because we don't get to look at the applications. We don't know who the hell's getting the stuff. Not that it should matter, but to me, it's morally wrong.
And we know.
The way it's done is morally wrong, because I work my ass off for my house. I take care of myself, sick or not, you know, enough is enough. And everybody's looking for a goddamn freebie since COVID, you know, enough is enough. I can sit home and make more money. I don't have to work, you know. This is the same theory, the same thought process goes into this grant process. I'm sorry, but that's how I feel. If you want to know how I feel, Gary, you want me to say things at the meeting that might be offensive, but this is how I feel.
And that's,
I wasn't raised this way. I wasn't one of the people that wanted to play the system. But I feel like I'm helping these people play the system. I'm sorry. This is how I feel. But I will vote yes so that they can have their.
But not everybody, Irving. Not everybody is like that. I mean, you're gulping everybody in the thing. But people have bad luck, and things happen. You know, not everybody's been lucky enough to be healthy all their life and be able to get everything. You gotta have a little bit of compassion and think of other things too.
And this specific example is a house fire.
Yeah. I mean, granted, he didn't have any insurance, but could he afford insurance? You know, that's the other thing. Can he afford insurance?
Don and I talked about
it's not freaking cheap.
Are they gonna make sure that they mandate that they put insurance on the new home?
Well, they have to. That's something that I believe, like you asked,
insurance.
If they keep,
they have to live in it for a minimum of 5 years.
Right, and I'm sure they're going to keep track of everything, make sure it's not getting run down. That's their job. That's what they're. But you know, we can throw more questions.
She explained it all, and it was they have insurance. They can't sell the property for I think 5 or 7 years. I can't remember the exact number.
They've got to pay it back.
They have to be there a number of years. They can't just say, "Oh, I just got this place. Now I'll resell it for X number of dollars."
Well, no,
they have to stay there.
Right.
They'll lose it there for 4 or 5 years. They'll burn it down again. They'll do it over again. I mean, there's precedent. It's morally wrong.
I understand what you're coming from.
Wrong.
I totally understand where you're coming from, and I'll give you my perspective on it. We do not. They came to us and said, "This is the grant money to benefit your town."
And I abstained on that vote.
If we don't take that money, okay, they're going to give that money to somebody else. So whether you agree on it or disagree on it, this is money that comes into our town. So let's help the people of our town instead of having that money go to Beaman Town, go to Ellenburg, go to somewhere else, because it's going to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's not going to say, they're going to say, okay, Moore's didn't take $500,000, so we're going to take that $500,000 and we're going to put it back into, you know, remove it from the budget. So it's $500,000 less. That's not how it happens. Government entities spend every dollar that they have, because that's how next year on the budget, that's how you can ask for $500,000 again. Look, we spent $500,000. We need another $500,000. Well, if you only spend $200,000, why do you need $500,000 on the next budget? That's why at the end of the fiscal year, government entities spend every dollar they have.
Plus you're looking at, he put a new trailer in there, his assessment's gonna go up. You're gonna pay more taxes. So you got more tax base. The houses that are getting fixed up, they should be reassessed for more money. You got more tax money coming in.
And at least in the short term, you're not looking at an old dilapidated normal home. You're looking at a new one. Now, as long as they keep the place neat,
right?
You know, and that's another issue, but you can't assume that's gonna happen until after that, no. I guess. At least, like I said, Brenda is down here, that old trailer was looking pretty bad, pretty ratty. Mm-hmm. And now it looks nice there now, it really does. They came in and was it you, Gary, that asked them at the last meeting about yard work?
Yes.
And on Brenda's, they're doing yard work.
They did it on Morse Fork.
Yeah, they're starting on that a little bit, yeah. So they're doing, they do the yard work, they do the landscaping, they get that all done. They pour concrete sidewalk, build steps to get into the, you know, so it's, they take care of all that too. And it just kind of helps the aesthetics of the area a little bit, I think, as well.
Well, they don't need to come next month. I'll change my vote, Jeff, but I'll just let them know. And that's just how I, maybe I'm a person of too much principle to.
No, I feel we all have principle.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, that's it. Well, I've got principle too, but what I've seen people having bad luck. I mean, and I've seen, you know, granted, not everybody, but, you know, people do have bad luck and things happen. Well, that's out of your control.
There are some I know that have used the system.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
You're going to have that with everything.
You can't pick and choose. You got to kind of give it to them all across the board.
But you got to trust the friends of the North Country too, because they do their homework too.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure they've done background checks on these people, and if it's something that they've done in the past, I'm sure they don't get it. But
my only thing that I wish would change is they would, and I know it's a government agency, just to speed up payment to the contractors, because the contractors aren't Luck Brothers, and they're not Murnane that are going out and doing these, you know, it's their little bathroom remodel or something like a roof, or that could be done by the small guy. And the small guy, you know, $10,000 for a small guy to wait for 3 months is a lot.
Yeah, it is, no doubt.
That's my only wish, that they would find a way to streamline the process.
Right.
Where if it's already, you know, they already permitted this guy to get a new roof, the contractor says it's gonna be 10 grand, the contractor submits that statement like for 10 grand, and then, you know, that's already in the process.
And I'm sure they have to do the work, then they have to go and inspect it, and then by the time you do all your paperwork, even if they had it where, like if they get their lumber from Sample Lumber, okay, you pay the Sample Lumber bill, not the contractor.
Right.
So the contractor not stuck, at least he's only stuck with the labor.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He's not stuck with the bills for all the materials.
Exactly. I think that would get more contractors on board.
I think so.
To work with.
For instance, I think so.
Where we could do the smaller projects.
Right, and get more of them done.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
well, I'll change my vote.
So,
notify them or to revote.
So, officially, Irvin is going to rescind his vote, the no vote on the replacing the mobile home. And you're going to change that to a yes vote?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Irvin.
Yes, thank you. I guess we'll get a little bit more of the money. And by the way, I ended up getting the quarry, ended up doing the sidewalk cement.
Oh, plaster?
Right, and the reason why I went with them too was because they have a state contract, so we don't have to go out to bid. So we paid them $8,100,
yeah.
Give them a check and everything, so that's all set. She's going to cut a check. She wasn't happy because they're all doing all sidewalks. I told her maybe we'll take some money out of our budget to do when we get ready to do the striping and stuff. You know,
but give us to the end of the construction season and we would have various
items. We would have done it all, but
items.
But we were kind of stuck.
There's a lot of patchwork we can do though.
Oh yeah, that's going to help out a lot, that patchwork. Yeah, but that's all set, so we're good on that.
So we get to tell Chris he's born sidewalks.
Yeah.
How many roads has he got slated?
I don't know, has he come up with a list of what he's going to do this year?
As of last week, no.
Tappan Road is getting really bad. And I know a couple of people complained about the Eddy Road too.
So we have Simmons Road, Town Hall Road, Tappan Road, portion of it, Eddy Road, portion of it, Bush Road from Nephew to Cannon's Corners Road.
And Herrick Road from my driveway to the bridge.
And we'll add the Herrick Road from the valley to.
I think you'd have a little hole being on the board, huh?
They're going this huge patches now, 40, 50 feet long. It was coming up last time they plowed and they did the sand removal the last week. It took everything. You can see it now.
I don't know. We haven't got a thing yet on what he's got for budget yet.
Well, the state hasn't passed their budget.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So the CHIPS money is not finalized.
Right.
I can.
Did he say anything about working on School Street this year, though?
No, I asked him about
that. That's going to be a whole summer project.
He's waiting on the school, I guess.
Yeah, it's still, well, Matt was supposed to get back to him on,
right,
you know, what we're gonna.
Right, so I think that's gonna be up for this year, I think.
Because they're supposed to help us out a little bit on that, because rightfully so. Shouldn't be all in the town to take care of that. Yeah.
And I don't know, I mean, just me personally, and I don't know, he's talking about putting curbs in there, but the plow and stuff, I think it's gonna be a big headache. But that's just my opinion. But,
I mean, it's there's a lot of infrastructure work that needs to be done.
The thing with the curbs, storm drains. We're trying to channel the traffic the right way.
To me, the big thing is the storm drains. This is what needs to be done, because we had to pay money to that guy that backfilled into his, which technically probably shouldn't have been ours, because he shouldn't be hooked on our storm drain. But what are you gonna do?
What did we have to do?
Huh?
What did we have to spend money?
Yeah, because our storm drain backed up, and he had his septic or his
okay, gotcha.
His drainage into the thing.
And
flooded his basement. So, but it wasn't a crazy amount of money.
Yeah, because we were originally waiting for, well, Chris was waiting for the homeowners on that road to get their septics tested. To find out, yeah, tested. So that's all.
That's all settled now.
Yeah, that's all settled.
Yeah. Because I think in the storm drains, are they on both sides of the road or just one?
Just on the south side.
South side, eh? I thought so.
There is, at the intersection of Maple and School, there is a storm drain on the north side, yep, right by the sidewalk. Yep. That's the only one.
That's a bad change.
I think what we should do, is, and Donald mentioned before, is as soon as we can, is get a sidewalk from Route 11 down the Hemingford Road to School Street. So people would have an avenue to come off of the main road.
Well, that, and they wanted that as a route for the kids. Evacuation route from the school here.
Yeah, yeah. You know, have your cross, have your crosswalk.
We got to get county approvals to
right
to do the sidewalk.
I'll email Carl and see what the process is to do that.
Yeah. So we email him, we'd say where we're going to put the sidewalk. They come up and do a layout, see if there's any signs that need to be moved, and if there's enough. Right away, and if it interferes with any other storm drainage, and then they come back to us.
They moved their line to do the remediation for the spill out of that basement.
Oh, did they?
Oh, yeah.
What's that now?
They took the sign right out.
Did they?
Well, they had to put it back.
Right.
In order to do that, they had to dig all that out, bring all new soil in. That was a mess over there.
Huh. I guess. The garbage?
The garbage is still there. But I had to laugh yesterday. Drove by, the garbage still piled by the garage, and I'm sure in the garage. They had their dumpster out of the road.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm like, this is going to take a long time, dumpster, to get rid of that dumpster.
Crazy.
But how you don't smell fuel oil leaking in your basement, I have no clue.
Oh, they could smell it.
I mean, I spilled just a thimble when I changed out my furnace.
Yeah, when you change your filter, it means.
Yeah, it smells. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just playing the game.
Jeff, did we fix the light at the end of East Street?
Yeah.
We did?
Yep. Yeah. He put it on a pipe, so he just turned it toward the bridge more. Yeah, it's good now.
It's not shining towards people's house?
Nope. And actually, we can turn it more if we have to, but it's good right now. Yeah. Yeah. I had contacted Jim. He went over that weekend and got it turned. So we're good on there.
I don't know. I saw bright lights.
Bright lights.
Yep. Anything else? Okay. I'll entertain a motion to close.
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
I'll
second
the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Let's go home.
Well, might as well.